Hi guys, episode 3 of the Transpavillons podcast. We are just before the gate of going into the nature reserve side. This is the very last campsite before you go in there. We've had a day of shooting all along the route and we had a nice campfire. I've got Harold Zumpt from Polar to my right and I've got Vikas van der Walt from Transpavillons, the race founder, on my left. And yeah, I think this is almost a bit of a bonus episode, if we want to call it that. We thought it would be good to just tell a bit more of the history, a bit more war stories, share a few tales from this event over its 19-year period, and yeah, just share some of our stories and hopefully encourage you guys to share some of your stories. Vikas, I think there's a specific person at one stage from Nature Conservation when you first got this idea of Transpavillons. Tell us a bit more about that first meeting, the very first meeting you went to try and explain this this event concept.
Yes, I was also working for Nature Conservation for many years. So he was actually an ex-colleague of mine, and so I phoned him the one day when we decided we want to do this event, and I said, Jan, his name was Jan Kapp, I don't know if anybody knows him, but I said to him, we want to talk about Pavillons Kloof, we want to do something there. So he said, no, it's fine, he's going to be in Hubertina in the Lang Kloof this date, this time, I must come through, meet him there. So I met him in Hubertina the day, and we had lunch at the Hubertina Hotel, which is actually now an old age home. Doesn't exist anymore. But we were eating away at our lunch. Of course, I had to pay. In those days, the Staatsambtenaren were a bit stingy. Anyway.
Only in those days.
And as we were eating, I said to him, Jan, we want to ride our bicycles from Willowmore to Jeffreys Bay through the Pavillons Kloof. And he stopped eating and he looked up at me and he said, yeah, yes, Buff, in your cup. So yeah, but he said, but you can do it, no problem. And that was our first permission to do the event in 2003.
Yeah, so that is almost a bit like a handshake agreement. Now we have to go through a lot of paperwork to get all of the approvals and things. Harold, any interesting things that you can tell over... Have we established now the 10 years of racing?
I think we're pretty close to 10 years. 10 rides through the...
You're trying to add the doubles. I know like a lot of the listeners want to let the doubles... We're talking about years, not rides. Yeah, but anyway, let's call it almost 10 rides. Any interesting things that happened with you along the route?
Yeah, probably the hard part is to try and remember all of them, because yeah, there's lots of stories. As we've already discussed in the previous episode, you know, the first year was rather unique with your own support vehicle. Checkpoints that were just on the side of the road. Everyone stopped, the support vehicles stopped, and the support vehicles tried not to obviously drive over any of the riders on the route. But yeah, we had adverse weather conditions that year, the first year, and then it cleared up, and you got into the campsite in Jeffreys Bay with very little fanfare or anything like that. You finished the race, and I mean, the response Vikas got from the official is probably what the response you'll get from a lot of people if you tell them about this race and what you're about to do. Yeah. Because I think only once you've done it do you truly understand what it is about and what you have experienced, and as we've spoken, you know, then you can share your own stories, and I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
To take yourself out of a comfort zone a little bit, maybe some years a little bit more than other years. And really experience a unique event, a very scenic ride, a very different ride, and yeah, create your own stories with your friends. I mean, it goes without saying, you either team up with one partner or you team up with two or even three partners in a four-person team. And yeah, it's just a unique opportunity to create your own stories.
Yeah, I think that riding your bike when you through this route, and when you tell people that you've ridden 230 k's through the night, through the biggest wilderness area, from one town in the Karoo, Willemore, to Jeffreys Bay, to the beach, people can relate to that being quite a big effort. And that I think anybody, whether that's a cyclist or not, you can relate that that's a big effort. And I think that adds to the value of your bragging rights, if you want to call it that, of achieving this event. And that's one of the unique features of riding an event like that.
Yeah. Because you rode the very first race in your very first race in 2018. How did that go?
Yes, it was in 2018. No, it went okay. I did better than my first ride, the unofficial trial run. I think we did it in about 12 hours, which I think wasn't too bad. But yeah, I was cramping, going up the fangs. And I thought, oh, the Mac is still coming. And but suddenly going up the Mac, I felt much better, and I actually cruised up there. From there on, it was just plain sailing.
You'd obviously been listening to our podcasts or our,
yes, but
our talks on trials, and you paid attention. So
I've listened to your talk so much, Harold, that I hear the first part where you say, don't overtrain, take it slow. And then I don't hear the rest until the last bit where you say, you must rest a lot. So that's what I can remember.
I think what you also, Vikas, that you just alluded to, and I think we reference a lot to it in the other talks and things that we do. The one iconic thing about Transbavians is the names. A lot of, like, I think Mac is pretty much almost a household name in mountain biking in South Africa. Maybe I'm being a bit biased there, but the Mac, which for the audience, just to understand, the Mac is the most significant climb in the race. And it's called MAC because of the mother of all climbs. So it's an acronym for mother of all climbs. And Harold, what's the stats on the climb? I'm putting you on the spot. Can you remember? It's 10 k's long.
It's almost 10 k's long. I think probably in the region of about 8 kilometers long.
Okay.
The true part of the climb. Yes. And I think we're looking at, I'd have to check up, but I think 6% on average gradient.
I remember
somewhere around there. Yeah. So it's a solid climb.
And it's not just that, it's where it comes in the race.
Exactly, and that's the bigger part of it. It's 130 odd kilometers.
Yeah, it's just on 132 k's, you strike it and you finish it at about 140. Yeah,
yeah, but there's a few sort of, I think, warm-up climbs, if we want to call it, preceding that. The Fangs, for example, Bavian's Back.
Yeah.
But even before that, I mean, there's smaller climbs, as we saw today. You know, you even have out of checkpoint one at Vera's, you've got a little bit of a climb out there. And I think all those little ones add up steadily, and the distance adds up, and then you hit the major climb.
The Mac, yeah.
Plus, as we'll see in the future episode, the road surface is quite challenging. It's not so easy to ride up. So there's all these things that come together and give you this really big melting pot of a really unique experience.
Yeah. I want to bring it back to the names, because how did these names come about? How did you get to Bavian's Back? It's probably the first prominent name, and then it's the Fangs, and then the Mac, and then we all know the Never Ender, and we'll talk about the Never Ender a bit later in this series. But yeah, the names, were they, I mean, the one that we're going to talk about as well is the Cramp Kicker, was named by riders, but are they all names? How did those names come
about? Yeah, it was quite interesting. When we tried the route in 2003, there was no things like GPS units for your bike, or even GPSs for your car. Those only came in later. So what we did is we rode with the odometer, and I had a little pocketbook. It's still somewhere in my office. And I made notes. Kilometer zero, Willowmore, you know.
Yes.
And then kilometer so and so, turn left towards Baviaans Kloof. And that's how I did the whole route. So every point where of interest, we had to stop, take the kilometer, write it down, and say what's happening here. So, and we came across a lot of names through the Baviaans Kloof. And when we hit these climbs, then it wasn't really at that time that we made the decision to give the name. But afterwards, when we looked at the profile, and we said, those two little things look like fangs, you know. That's where the fangs came from. And then the mother of all climbs, we sort of decided on the ride, this is what it's going to be, because it is a mother.
Yeah.
The same with Big Dipper came later. When we looked at the profile, it was a hectic downhill of 15 kilometers. And then, of course, Never Ender came naturally, because it was like never ending.
Yeah, and that's almost 12 kilometers long, if I remember correctly. So, especially in that part of the race, almost 200 kilometers in, you're going well there. So, it's I think the names are very appropriate.
From what the ride is, and I mean, everybody, that's what you talk about. How did you feel on the first fang? How did you feel on the second
fang?
And how did you survive? Did you reach the top of Mac, which is also, a lot of people talk about Mac and Bergplas. So Bergplas is the actual checkpoint at the top,
which
is the mountain hut on the top, and then the Mac is the actual climb of Bergplas. What else can we talk about the history of
things? Looking at technology that was available those days. I mean, Harold, you will remember that some of those riders had normal torches taped to their top tube for lights.
Yeah.
There was no fancy stuff available, or not much.
Yeah.
You know, and I think those first riders were actually the pioneers of the event, because like us, they didn't know what to expect.
Exactly.
And they just pushed through with torches taped to the to their top tubes.
And I think the other important part here is that, and we haven't maybe spoken about a lot, is that a lot of us will ride it in the dark. We'll go into the dark. It'll be dark. It'll be a different experience. A lot of us don't ride when it's really dark in training as well. So that just gives a whole different dynamic to the race as well, because you generally, most of us will tend to finish in the dark as well.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that having lights as a part of a thing is to train in the dark with your lights and figuring that out, how that all works and how you set that up in night riding, but I think that the guys that did it in those early years with minimal, I mean, technology has changed. I think in our passing over the last couple of days, we've been talking about all the things that changed. We can have a field day about how much better the bikes have gotten since then. But we also talked about technology and gear in terms of clothing, technology in terms of lights and everything. And then you look at how guys ride now, and obviously the times have gotten a lot better, but it was possible to be done in 2004, 2005 with 26 inch hardtails and V brakes and torches taped to their
and probably a picnic basket as well.
Yes, and having to negotiate the support vehicles on the Mac, you know.
Yeah. How many years of support vehicles did we have? It was up till 2006 still, 2007 it was still.
Yeah, it was around about 2008 that we decided to do away with them going through the Baviaans Kloof. So, and then they started going through the Langkloof.
Yeah, and I think the next one I want to just touch on is the Bavianse Kloof. It is a World Heritage Site. It is the biggest wilderness area in our country. All of those facts that we all know by now. It's just the fauna and flora of this, because just like, give us a bit of a rundown about why it's actually a World Heritage Site.
Yes, well, it is very unique. If you look at South Africa as a whole, South Africa consists out of 8 different vegetation biomes, and 7 of those, or 8 of those biomes rather, meet in Bavianse Kloof. So there's only one that doesn't occur here. And that also makes for very interesting fauna, you know. So very unique in that sense. Rare species, you get these little redfin minnows in the rivers, which also is an indicator species for the purity of the river. And that all contributed to the heritage status.
Yeah, it's a very unique space, this, and I think that riding your bike through a special space like this in the Bavianse Kloof, in the wilderness areas, it really adds to your personal storytelling after riding. You really get immersed in this nature thing in only a way that you can by riding on your own steam on a bicycle through this big journey and creating your own stories. And I think it's something that we lose in modern day technology and everything, is to remember to just disconnect for that period. And we're talking about 24 hours here, but that 24 hours of riding your bike from point A, which is Willamore, to point B, which is Jeffreys Bay, it will feel like a big holiday, because you are completely disconnected and the only important thing to you is what are you going to eat next and how far to go still to the next point, and can you survive that, and what you will, you just focus on those things, and it becomes a very unique experience, I believe, to do something like that and to create your own story.
Yeah, and totally, it's a journey in itself, and being swamped by the smoke here.
Yeah.
It's a journey in itself, and the journey does start a lot sooner. You know, it starts way before you actually get to the start line, and that's really, I think it just makes the experience so much better, because you have invested a lot of yourself into the race to prepare for it, get to the start line, and then do the race itself. And a lot of people tend to be a little bit scared hearing all the war stories that we're telling now, and I think that's maybe part of it, but it's also a case of understanding that if you are prepared, it's an experience that you'll never forget.
Yeah, I think that's a wrap for our campfire stories, and I think I chose those words, campfire stories, and I think the important thing for us to carry across to whoever's listening or watching is that come to the Bavianse Kloof and create your own stories. And I know a lot of our riders come year after year to create their 5-year shields, and they've got their 5-year stories, and they carry on to the 10 years and so on. And I would love to hear more stories from our riders, and you guys are welcome to send things through, and maybe we can do something with a war story a publication or something. But there's really been great stories coming from this race, and whether it's good going, bad going or not, there's really always a great side of doing things like this and putting yourself out in the elements. Mm-hmm. So thanks for your time, Harold and Vickers. I don't know if you guys want to add anything to our campfire story podcast session.
No, well, all I can say is that the Bavianse Kloof wilderness area is definitely a place to experience. And what better way to do it than on your bike?
And I think it's about time that we get those tears out of your
yes.
eyes.
Because I'm smoked out.
The smoke is now all over us. We had this brilliant idea of doing a fire story episode. Harold, I think we're all going to smell that smoke tonight.
Yeah, and I think the last thing to add there is that sometimes the tougher the race, the harder the race, the harder the conditions, the better the story is.
This is true. This is true.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. And we'll catch you at the next episode.